The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're continuing our series today about what God reminds us to remember. And our text that we're using in our series is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 3, as a matter of fact, 3:3. There we go. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. The message says, turn back to God. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. In fact, I preached a sermon many years ago about this particular passage of Scripture, and where it says, but if you do not wake up, it's kind of hard to get it in the English language, but in the Greek, it's a very emphatic statement. It says, wake up! So it's kind of, you know, don't be slumbering and sleeping. It's kind of like the way my dad used to wake me up when I was going to school. You know, it wasn't gentle. It wasn't the sweet touch of a mother's hand. It was the determined voice of my little Italian father telling me to get out of bed. It was time to go to school. So it's really important that remember. And as I've been telling you the last couple of weeks, it's to recall something that you haven't forgotten. It's not like it's gone away. It's just something that it's part of who you are. It's your DNA. It's an experience. And I've been giving you some experiences. And this is one I ran across. And let me tell you about the time I danced with a grizzly bear in Alaska. You probably could remember that. You probably wouldn't have any trouble in the world. I remember that. That's not a true story, and I know it's not true, because if you ever start dancing with a grizzly bear, you can't quit. If you turn him loose, it's all over for you, okay? So, and also, it's not things that you really have forgotten, like I wonder if I repaid Morris that $100 owing. I'm doing pretty good so far. I think $500 or $600 showed up. So if you still owe me that $100, now's the time, okay? So we have covered to remember what you've received from the Lord, all right? Something that you've received and who you are in Christ. And we spoke at some length about that a couple of weeks ago. Last week, which I really enjoyed the sermon. If you haven't heard it, I'd encourage you to get a CD or go online and listen to it. It's to remember other people need you. And sometimes we forget that we need one another. And today we're going to continue our series by refreshing your memory to live your life. There we go. Remember to live your life. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they, parentheses, you may have life and have it to the full. The message takes that word full and puts it this way. Better life than they ever dreamed of. Wow, isn't that good? Have it to the full. A better life than you ever dreamed of. The problem for most people is by the time they figure out they didn't live enough, it's too late. You know, they think it's their life is almost over. I've met many people like that throughout my life, especially people who have failed to heed the call of God. When God called them to do certain things, and they didn't do it. I've seen grown men crumpled and weak in their knees, regretting a life they lived, not heeding the call of God to be in His service. And it's not a very pretty sight when you see it. So the object of life is to live it until you die. Now, you might say, well, gosh, everybody knows that. But if you think about that, to live it until you die, don't quit before it's over. Or in the words of that great philosopher, Yogi Berra, it ain't over till it's over, all right? And to take every day and enjoy it. Those of you who maybe have gone through a tragedy in life, something that God gave you mercy and let you survive and live, I have a sense of that every day is important. And you don't want to waste a day. If you haven't had that happen to you personally, you've known people who have it, that suddenly life has a new importance and a new meaning. It's not just Monday or Tuesday or I can't remember what day of the week it is, but every day that the sun pops up, it's a glorious day to be alive. So don't quit before it's over, and don't give up on your dreams too soon. You know, sometimes we do that. Say, well, it didn't happen, so it's never going to happen. Don't be that way. You know, God's in the business of dealing with old folks. Go read the scriptures. He deals with more old folks than young folks. In fact, David's kind of an anomaly that he got, you know, busy at rather young. The great apostle Paul, God met him on the road to Damascus, but it was in excess of 14 years before he actually got busy doing something. So I wonder how many times Paul sat around and said, well, the Lord said I'd be before kings, and the Lord said I'd do all these things, and here I am sitting out in the middle of nowhere, you know, just waiting for this thing to come to fruition. So don't give up too soon. You may live until you're 100. I mean, that's in today's environment. You know, we have more and more people. We have more people living to be 100 than ever before. People in their 90s. There are a lot of folks in their 90s. In fact, Pat and I know a lady, Miss Daisy. She's visited our church occasionally. She was living here in Slidell, but now she's moved with her daughter up in New York. And Daisy's, what, 106, 105? Oh, she's just 101. It's her sister that's 105. Yeah, okay. You know, so, you know, you may live that long, or, you know, I might get the call tomorrow, you know. You won't believe this, but, and one of you is going. I mean, so enjoy this thing called life to the fullest. Pat and I were driving home last night, and there was a song on the radio that was really cool. It was written by a girl by the name of Leanne Womack. Some of you may know who she is. And I went and looked this morning, and I found some of the lyrics of the song. And listen to this. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whatever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit or dance, I hope you dance. Boy, those are resonant words. I mean, it's a song, but they have a theological impact, especially on what we're talking about today, to remember about living your life. Don't let it drift away. Don't wake up tomorrow morning and say, what was yesterday all about? Don't let it be a faded memory. But, you know, they had a great movie several years ago called The Bucket List. And many of you saw that. It's just hilarious. If you haven't seen it, go see it. I mean, it's worth viewing. And, you know, make a bucket list and do something. Maybe you'll only have two things on it, but do it. One of the things on a guy's bucket list was to kiss the most beautiful girl in the world. And he finally did at the end of the moment. He kissed the face of his granddaughter. I thought, wow, how precious is that? So let's get into this and remember that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. The first thing we want to talk about is to remember to live like life is forever. Remember to live like life is forever. Do you know how long it took me to come up with that? Live like life is forever. That is a lot of L's in there. John 12:25, this is New Living Translation. I like the way it said it. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Your life is cut short just as soon as you think it's over. If you think it's over, it is for you. If you think this is it, I'm just waiting out my time until I finally, you know, get to glory. What a waste that is. What a waste that is. I hear that so often in the Christian realm. Well, I just can't wait to get to heaven. Well, you know, there's heaven on earth if you just let it be. I mean, there's things. I'm going to give you a perfect illustration of this. It's, you know, I go to the gym. I go to Cross Gates Gym, the one over here in on Gauss. And I walked in the gym yesterday, and as I walked in, there's a little, counter where you give your little key fob or whatever it may be to them, and they scan it and they let you in. And as the gal did that, and I was standing there, and behind her was a big rectangular, square-shaped design. And in the middle of it, in giant chrome letters, was CG for Cross Gates. I mean, it's big. I mean, the letters have got to be 3 foot tall. I mean, it's really big. And I looked at that, and I said, is that new? Did y'all just put this up here? Looked at me like I was dumb as a rock. She said, no, it's been here for years. I've been in that gym every week that I'm in town at least several times a week, and I've never seen that sign before. What a waste. They spent all that money on that beautiful chrome sign, and if you ever bought a commercial sign, they are expensive, and I just never saw it. And it reminded me how little I pay attention to life. Not looking and seeing that there's so much around us worth seeing. And I know this is on my mind and heart since I've been working in this series, but this morning, just driving here, instead of watching all the cars, I just looked up a little bit. And it's amazing just to see what's going on in our town that's above 6 foot high. Just to see it. You know, we need to lift our eyes and look and stop and breathe and enjoy what we have today so that tomorrow you can remember it. You might make the greatest memory of your life today. You might experience something that goes beyond your imagination. And you'll miss it if you don't look. How many beautiful things happen in your life that you don't see? And you don't even see the hand of God. So look at it and live your life. Enjoy it. Look for those precious moments and seconds in life that can give you joy. Much depression and people suffering depression is because they see no hope. And yet there's hope all around us if we just look for it. You extend your life by not loving this world too much. Let me tell you a couple of facts. Fact number one, you will die. Just get over it. You know, it's like the election. Trump won, get over it. All right? You are going to die. Now, I know some of you are looking with great hope and expectation for the rapture. Now, I'm going to get raptured out of this place and I won't die. You know how many thousands and millions of people died looking for that? I can see him now getting to the pearly gates and say, Peter, I was waiting for the rapture. What happened? I say, well, you had your own personal rapture. You know, you got here by dying. So the death rate is still, so far as I know, it's 100%. Old Bud Pomez was right. Our own resident theologian and philosopher. There ain't nobody getting out of this place alive. Just get over it and just deal with it, all right? Fact number two, nobody knows when that's going to be. You may live to be 110 or 120. You may not live the next second. Robert Watts isn't here today, but he's minding his own business, going into an ATM machine, and a car runs through the blooming building and hits him. The fact that he's alive is a miracle. A jet could fall out of the sky. A giant bird. I mean, you say, well, birds can't hurt you. Go talk to the guy who was flying a plane up in New York and landed in Hudson River. See, birds can't hurt you. A flock of birds can't put a plane on the ground. So you just don't know when it's going to be, so why not enjoy? You know, this is a cliche, but it's true. What if this was the last day of your life? What would you do? I mean, what would you do if you knew this was it? What if I had a message from God and I come up to you and say, you will not be here tomorrow? And it was a word from God. God, what would you do? Would you just go eat dinner someplace today and go home and take some Pepto-Bismol because you ate too much and just look at TV for a half hour and then go to bed? And wake up in glory tomorrow? Or would you maybe have some other plans, some things you might like to do? You might like to look in the eyes of your spouse and tell them how much you love them, how much you're going to miss them, how much they're going to miss you. You know? Would you just go sit down someplace and just look at the sky? Would you just breathe in the presence of God into your life? I mean, what would you do? What if you did all that and I was wrong and you didn't die? Would you say, that darn Morris, he told me I was going to die tomorrow, and here I am living. I wasted my whole day yesterday enjoying it. What a waste. You get the picture? You get the picture? You live your life like it'll live forever. Take a few risks. Some of you are so conservative, you got to make sure when you tie your shoes that the bow is perfect. Jesus told a story about somebody who wouldn't take any risk. It's the story of the steward. Remember the steward? And they all got a certain amount of funds to do something with. And, you know, they invested it. Some of them invested it, made money. And this one knucklehead, when his master showed up, he said, what have you done with what I gave you? And he said those wonderful words. I knew you were a hard taskmaster, and I was afraid I might lose this stuff that you gave me, which, by the way, didn't even belong to him, you know? And he was worried about it. Let me tell you what, honey. You give me $1,000 and tell me to go to the casino and gamble it for you, it's gone. I'm gambling it. And you won't get anything back because you can't win at the casino, as far as I'm concerned. You know, well, that's another long story. Let me tell you something. All you folks who love casinos, and I'm not opposed to gambling. I mean, if you want to waste your money in gambling, that's fine. But it's fixed and it's rigged. There are computers that control all that stuff. I've been in the back rooms. I had a client. It was a casino called Arizona Charlie's in Arizona. And they have a hidden room that you can't see that controls everything that goes on in that casino. That's a fact. And they can dial them up and dial them down. And believe me, they dial it more in their favor. How do you think they pay for all this free stuff you get? Well, I got a free room. They gave me free food. Oh, boy. Well, they gave it to you because it wasn't free because you paid for it. You just paid for it in a slot machine, a roulette wheel, or a blackjack table or whatever. You know what that story about the steward does? It gives you permission to try something new. Take a risk. Just do it. Don't live your life without any risk in it. If you don't have any risk, you never have any rewards. Well, what if it doesn't work out? Well, la-di-da, life goes on, you're still living. You know, just get over it and go on. Don't be stupid, but don't be afraid to risk a few things in life. The government told you, And we all know that the government always tells us the truth. And the government always looks out for our best interests. They care about us. I mean, we saw this week how much they care about us. You know? They care so much about us. And they told you that they're betting that you're going to croak somewhere between 62 and 65 because you're old. Well, you're so old, that'll give you Social Security. And you can live on that. You can live on that if you like to eat dirt, drink dirty water, live in a shack. But, you know, I just can't wait to retire. You know how many times people say, I can't wait to retire. And then they find out how much they get in their retirement, and they can't live on that. And they have to go back to work. But they begin to feel old. I mean, that in itself kills us. Age is between your ears. You're as old as you think you are. My dad, rest his soul, he wouldn't believe he was old. He was 80 years old. And I had the house I lived on Broadmoor Street, which was kind of two-tiered. In the middle, it was two-story. And to the either side, it had wings of one story. I walked out when he was there, and my dad was walking on the roof. I said, are you crazy? Get down from me before you fall. I've been climbing on the roofs all my life. He was right, and I was wrong. He was enjoying it. There was something up there he wanted to do. He got up there and did it. Probably what I wouldn't do, clean the straw off the roof. The gutters, that's what it was. I keep telling God that I'm getting old. I keep telling him that. He said, have you seen my birth certificate? And God keeps laughing and telling the band to pick up the tempo. I mean, if you're a willing vessel, don't tell him what God will do with you for the rest of your life. Don't give up on yourself. Whether you're young or old, you know, enjoy the day and live like you're going to live forever. Don't worry about dying. It will happen when God determines it'll happen, and not a day before. You know how many people tried to kill themselves and it didn't work? It happens all the time. You know, we might have 100 suicides in St. Tammany, but you got 1,000 people who try it. Some people put guns to their head to blow their brains out, and it doesn't work. You know? What he said?
No brains.
No, George, you didn't try that, did you? I mean to tell you, you know, God's the one who determines the length of your days from beginning to end. And he didn't tell you when it was going to be. And when you die, as a believer, you will live forever. But in the meantime, why not enjoy what we have here, right here? Right here on this planet. Do the things that God's called you to do. Here's some things that will keep you living longer. You can take these notes, all right? This will help. You will live longer if you do these two things. You ready? Buy good insurance. The doctors and the hospitals will keep you alive. They'll do everything to keep you alive as long as you got insurance. But as soon as your insurance runs out, you're either going to die or be well, one of the two, and they're going to throw you out. So get good insurance, and you can trust the doctors. Here's the second thing you do. Become a double tither. If you're a double tither, your pastor will pray and make sure you live a long time. Because there's not too many double tithers around. Y'all heard that crazy joke about the two guys who got shipwrecked, and they were on an island out in the middle of the ocean, and one guy was just, you know, frantic beyond measure, and he couldn't deal with it. He's crying, lamenting, he's screaming, there's no help, nothing anywhere, and the other guy's sitting around just relaxing, got eating coconuts, just enjoying the beautiful view. The guy says, what is the matter with you? We're going to die here. The guy says, we're not dying here. Man, I am a multimillionaire, and I tithe. I promise you, my pastor is looking for me right now. Yeah. You know, pastors are good for something. Yeah. You're a big giver. We'll look for you. You don't give much. I don't, you know. All right, number two. Remember to live like life is abundant. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Everybody say abundantly. 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 So that in all things, at all times, listen, in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Man, what a great positive scripture. Live like a king's kid, an heir to a fortune. See yourself that way. Children of God are blessed and are designed to prosper. God wants you to prosper. You know, that somebody took the truth of God and really twisted it and really hurt us in many ways. That was the prosperity message. You know, just confess that you have a new Mercedes and it'll show up. You know, and some things just don't work. I think I've told you about my buddy that confessed that he could see. And he was blind as a bat. And I saw him one day, he had his glasses on. And I said, wow, where's your glasses? And he says, God healed me. He said, I am healed. In Jesus' name, I was healed. And boy, I was really excited about it. And we went to walk off. He ran right into a doorpost. He was blind. He's still blind. I said, you can't see. Put them glasses on before you hurt yourself. I said, did you drive over here without those glasses? And he said, yeah. I said, I can't believe he did it. You know, and, you know, saying things that are ridiculous. I mean, if God heals your eyes, you'll know it. You'll be able to see. Children of God are blessed. Blessings come when you don't lust after them to possess them for yourself. That's what that scripture says. You know? And God is able to bless you abundantly so that at all times, having all things, you will abound in every good work. God wants to bless you, but if you just consume this stuff on yourself, God wants to prosper you so you can bless other people. There's a prayer in the scripture where it says, Lord, don't make me so poor. Don't make me so poor that I can't live this life. But don't make me so rich that I forget about you. So you want God to prosper. You want to see the prosperity that comes from God and use it. When you use your abundance in the kingdom, God will give you more of those things. I remember when Pat and I first got saved, my idea of church and giving was this. I went to church if I really felt I was guilty of something, right? And when I went to church and gave God everything I had in my pocket, change that is, no bills, just change. Whatever change I had, I'd give to God. But if I really had a guilty conscience, I remember one time I gave $5. I remember. That was the most money I'd ever given in my life in a church. And then I got saved and I didn't have any money and I was broke and I didn't have a job and I was in debt and I didn't know how I was going to live. And my brother-in-law had mercy on me and gave me a job. It was an amazing job. I was so glad to have it. He made me the night manager at his store. It was a convenience store. And I'd go to work at night and work there. And he paid me an astounding salary, $13 a day. $13 a day, not an hour, a day. I got $13. And I began to give and tithe off that $13. I kind of figured I was already broke. You know, if I gave some money to the church, I'd probably be all right. And then God has blessed me beyond measure and allowed me to give abundantly. I remember the time, and I've told you about it, that my partner and I prayed that we wanted to give $10,000 away. We didn't have $10,000. We couldn't even pay ourselves. But we believed it. We wanted to give. We talked about it so much, somebody took a wood carving and put $10,000 on it. We hung it on our wall. And one day we made a sale, and we, at the end of the day, when we had paid all the bills and paid all the salaries and everything else, we had 10 grand left over. And we looked at each other and we said, let's give it away. And we did. We gave it away. You have any idea how good it feels to give away $10,000? It is an amazing, wonderful feeling. And God abundantly blessed us beyond that. And the business grew and we prospered and the rest is history, to say. So you can begin giving when you can't afford it. If this is you, and I'm not, I don't know, so I don't know if it's you or not. But if you're not giving because you can't afford it, you're robbing yourself. You are. You're just robbing yourself. Now, I don't believe that you have to tithe to get to heaven, but I think tithing is a good idea. It's real easy. You don't have to know math very well. You just have to know decimal points. You just have to know how to move them to the left. It's real easy to get to 10% of whatever you're making. And just give it to the Lord by faith. And trust Him. Trust Him with it. Say, well, Lord, I'm not going to be able to pay my golf fees down at the country club. Or I'm not going to be able to buy that new whatever you want. Well, just trust the Lord and see if He can't prosper you and find other ways to bless you that you can't even imagine. He can find ways to bless you that you can't even imagine. Beyond description, God can do those things. He can get things for you so cheap you can't, you wouldn't imagine it. First really nice house Pat and I bought. We got it so far below appraised value. When we decided to put an offer on it, the realtor said, you can't do that. They will never accept that offer. Well, they didn't accept that offer. But I think they took about $5,000 over what we offered, which was about $30,000 less than the house appraised for. Now, imagine how we did that. It's because I'm such a good negotiator. I could have been with Trump and wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. No, we just trust the Lord. And God blessed us because of it. God wants you to live abundantly. This question is asked all the time. Well, if Jesus was here, would He wear a Rolex? You know, when I thought about that as I was preparing, would Jesus wear a Rolex? I got to think about it. The answer to that is no. He would probably wear a Movado. If you don't know what a Movado is, you don't know good watches. He'd probably wear a Movado and buy you a Rolex. That's what He'd do. Because He loves to see you prosper. Loves to see you do well. So, the principle is that abundance comes through your abundance with God. I'm going to show you a scripture. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Now, I don't think that's, in the Greek, you know what that says? In the Greek, it says, give, and it'll be given to you. That's exactly what it says. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. But with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What an amazing promise from the Word of God. That's in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. It's under the New Covenant, not the Old Covenant. And it's a promise from Jesus Himself that if you will give, it'll be given back to you. Good measure, shaken down, pressed together. It's just a picture of the abundance that God wants you to have. Now, some of you theologians would say, well, Jesus was poor. He didn't have a thing in this world. Well, let's look at that for just a moment. Jesus had enough money to need a treasurer. He had enough money that the treasurer was stealing, and he still was able to do what he wanted to do. He had enough money to make sure that himself and 12 itinerant preachers and their families, by all likelihood, their families were with them when they were going places, that they had everything they needed. And when he died, his clothes were good enough that people were willing to gamble for him. That doesn't sound like a guy walking around in rags, does it? Said, well, you're saying that Jesus was prosperous? I believe he was prosperous because of who he was and what he did and what he gave. He set out some principles for us. So don't put Jesus in a poorhouse. I don't believe he's in a poorhouse at all. But he knew how to handle what he had. He knew how to take care of what he had. So we need to be good stewards. We need to be willing to take some risk. But we need to live an abundant life. There's nothing wrong with living well. I think there's a scripture. It's not at all to be a scripture. I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. You know? That's my definition of rich, not your definition of rich. Hallelujah. Y'all doing okay? All right. Are you getting ready to live? Here we go. I know you're going to think I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not. Remember to live life like it is short. Ha. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go into the city, spend a year there, and carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this and that. We need to live under the covering of God himself and our trust and our faith in him, that he is in control of our lives. God is interested in the big things of your life and in the little things of your life. God cares if you get a good parking place at Walmart. God cares if you have nice clothes to wear. God cares if you have a nice house to live in. God cares about those things. Now, some would say, well, not everybody's living in prosperity. Well, you know, that's true, but I've known people who are more prosperous with no earthly goods than many rich people I know. There's a guy by the name of Leonard. And Leonard had cerebral palsy. So Leonard started off with a bad deal. He couldn't speak well. He couldn't move well. And he was poorer than the church mice. I mean, he was poor. He was poor. But he didn't know it. He didn't think it. One time we had a garage sale, and I think Pat gave him a tie. Didn't you give him a couple of ties? Yeah. He was, you would have thought he went to Neiman Marcus and bought clothes. He was so happy. Oh, thank you for this. Oh, man, he just went on and on and on and on. He was so happy. Here's a guy that I haven't done this, but he did. He and his wife, his wife, by the way, had a stroke. She was crippled. And they had how many kids? Four? Four children. Lived in a little trailer that you probably wouldn't want to live in. And he told me this story. He said, Brother Morris, that my wife and I were about to have dinner. And we were praying, thanking God for our meal. We started thanking God for all that he had done for us. And the food was getting cold. So we told the kids to eat. And we went in the bedroom and we prayed for an hour, thanking God for all that he had done for us. Wow. This guy's got no physical attributes that are worth a flip. Can't even walk in a straight line. Hardly got two pennies to rub together. And yet he spends an hour with his wife thanking God for everything he had. When's the last time you did that? Thanking God for everything you have. See, that's living the abundant life. That's living like life might be short and living every day as best you can. Today is the day to live your life. Tomorrow is only an illusion. Just an illusion. The scriptures are filled with the urgency of today. It says today is the day of salvation. Somebody may be watching us over the internet. You know, you're thinking, well, I'll make up my decision tomorrow. It's only an illusion. People are worried about whether or not the health care bill gets repealed and replaced and all that stuff. You want to worry about something, worry about the Koreans with a nuclear weapon that they could sling over here. You could be vaporized. In a second. Today's the day of salvation. If you don't know the Lord, now's the day to let him into your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, today's got enough trouble. Don't worry about it. Jesus didn't worry about tomorrow. In fact, he didn't even know what was going on tomorrow. Remember the disciples came to him? Here's the Son of God, the creator of the universe, through which everything exists and consists. And they come to him and said, Jesus, when will these things happen? Matthew 24. When will these things happen? When will it come to pass? And Jesus, with the wisdom of the Ancient of Days, said, I don't know. I don't know. And don't worry worry about it. Just do what you have to do and do. Take care of today. Don't worry about it. He wasn't worried about it. And he didn't know. No reason you worried about it either. Okay, all of those, here's a survey. How many of you can control tomorrow? Raise your hand. How many can control the next 5 minutes? Raise your hand. You're out of control. The only control you got is the control that God has in your life and God gives you. Today to worship Him. Today to sing songs of Zion. Today to do something good. Today to be kind to somebody. Today to drive through Starbucks and buy the guy behind you their coffee. Today is to not take the really good parking place and mention for the other guy to take it when you're driving somewhere. You know, today is the day to be good to yourself and be good to other people. Don't worry about tomorrow. You don't know what will happen. Many a person has died and left their labors unfinished. You've got something to do. Is there some urgency in your life that God spoke to you? You better do it today, because it might not get done if you don't do it today. Do what God has called you. Many a person has died and left their labors unfinished. Let it be like Paul. Paul was really such a cool guy. And he said, okay, I understand the Roman government now is, you know, said I'm guilty. I don't know what, but they said I'm guilty. And they had the axeman over here the other day measuring my neck. You know, so I guess this is it. And he said words that I wish we could all say. He said, I've finished my course. I've run the race. There's laid up for me a crown of glory in heaven. To be finished. I think that's the way God wants us to live. Knowing that we've done everything we know how to do to finish what He called us to do. So that when the time comes and the axeman shows up, maybe in the form of a sickness, maybe in the form of an accident, maybe in the form of some crazed person shoots you on the street, you can say, I've run my race, I've finished my course, and I'm ready. Not sitting down and said, oh, I just can't wait for the rapture to happen to get me out of this place. But to finish strong. You know, New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl with that motto, finish strong, finish strong, finish strong. I think I've told you this before. Bobby Knight, probably the most successful basketball collegiate coach ever, he said what he taught his kids. They asked him, why do you win all the time? He said, I'll tell you why I win. Because I teach my kids that once they score, to press in and score a game. He said, everybody else scores and relaxes. He said, I taught them that when you make points, you just use every bit of your athletic power to score a game on the other team. It'll catch them off guard, and you'll make more points that way. And he was right. So if you've had some success, score a game. Just do it again. One more time. Don't squander today waiting for what might happen tomorrow. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Say, well, Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. No, I don't. I know some of the things. I don't know what you got facing you tomorrow. You might have a doctor's appointment tomorrow and you're worried about it. You know? You might have woke up this morning with that. What the heck is that? I wasn't there yesterday. Where did that come from? How come I can't walk today? You know? What's wrong? You'd be worried about it, and you wake up tomorrow morning, and whatever that was is gone, and you're feeling good, and you wasted a whole day worrying about what was going to happen tomorrow. Trust the Lord. The scripture said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Parenthetically, don't lean on what you think tomorrow is going to turn out to be. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, what's the rest of it say? You know? And he'll do what? Direct your path. Direct your path. Direct your path. Well, I don't know what my path is. Here's your path. But that word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, that doesn't give us the impact that it really says, because we got all these electric light bulbs and all this stuff. But they were walking at night with a lamp. And what they do is they'd carry it like this, like you would carry a lantern, all right? And what it did, it gave them enough light to see where they were stepping so they wouldn't step on a snake or a stone or a hole. And it just lit up the pathway enough that they could see the general direction they're going in. That's today, where my feet are. That's a general direction of where I'm going. But I don't know what's around. It's too far out from the light of that little dim lamp that I'm carrying. So I don't know too far out. But enjoy what God is giving you today. Be a good steward of your life. Now, talk about being good stewards. When we talk about money, how to be a good steward of your life. I'm going to close with this thought. What if God has up in heaven two giant bowls? In one bowl are some red marbles, and in the other bowl are some black marbles. And what if God put an angel on assignment for you? And he said, every time they waste a day, put a black marble in that bowl. And every time they use the day abundantly living the life I gave them, put a red marble in that bowl. What would your bowls look like if you saw them? Good question, isn't it? Good question. Well, let me give you this closing thought. If you got a lot of black marbles, because of God's oompa ratio, he can change the black marbles into red marbles. He can make all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. So he's not holding a record against you. What he's doing is saying, come, follow me. Say, well, Lord, I don't know where you're going. It doesn't matter. What is your life but a vapor that appears for a little while and then disappears? One day, I don't know when, we're all going to be in glory, all right? And when we get there, it's going to be amazing. But in the meantime, let's have an amazing life. Because I know all of you. I think I'm the oldest person in the room. I didn't look to get that honor, but I believe I am. And because I am, I'm going to say, you might have N number of years left. Enjoy what you have. You can still be older and have a marvelous life. Don't give in. Take care of yourself. Exercise. Diet. Pray. Give. Read the scriptures. Enjoy life. So that when you go, we can say about you, wow, they went out dancing. Amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, you can. Yes.
I said a few years ago, and I don't remember exactly how many years ago, but I did say that when I get a little older, I am not going to sit in a rocking chair. I am not going to go plank myself some down on some bench and wait to die. I am going to keep on going until I can't go anymore. Amen. And my shoes are still going to be on my feet.
Amen. That's the way to do it.
In the name of Jesus, I give him all the glory and praise that he has kept me these 80 years. And I'm looking forward to November to become 81.
Amen.
And I give him all the praise and honor and
glory. Are you that old?
Yes, I am.
You older
born,
than me.
Born in 1936.
Now, you see how good God is? I felt bad because I was the oldest person in the room, and I found out I wasn't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dismiss us in prayer, Miss Rose.
Sure. Father, we thank you for this day, a wonderful day. We bless your holy name. We thank you for Jesus coming to save our souls,
yes,
to save our
yes.
life, to give us new life and the promise of our eternal home in heaven.
Yes.
We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We ask you to bless us as we depart this place
yes.
and go along our way. And Lord, thank you for the word that says, we labor to enter into your rest.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.